Welcome to our master class. I'm so excited. I've been just sharing a few stories here with the moms. And I just shared the story of Diamond, who said that because of the homeschool sisterhood, she's really focused on being intentional in the things that she does. And she's sticking to her schedule. She's being consistent. And she said her kitchen now is not as nearly cluttered as it used to be before. They're finishing school early. And she's not looking for perfection. She's looking just for a peaceful atmosphere, and she's getting it. That's so exciting. And then I just shared also how Dawn has a son with autism, and she said it was a unique learning curve for her, to say the least. She was trying to find help for many years, finally decided to homeschool and help him the best way she could find. And she said, and I'll quote, "I really believe this group has helped in so many ways for both my son and I already, and it's just begun. So excited and grateful to have hope that something good is going to happen for my boy and I." And it will. It will, because you're not alone. You're not alone. You got the help that you need for your homeschool. And you just need to persevere, girl. We need to stay consistent. We need to persevere. Remember, I told you guys before we start this, it says, I have a homeschool success path. It works. It works because I tried with hundreds of other homeschool families before. It works. And if we plugged into the sisterhood, if we watch the classes, if we come to the interviews, if we do like just the book club for the kids, guys, huge. Ariella just read a whole book in 2 days. A whole book in 2 days. She just came to ask me for a second one to read this week. And we started just Tuesday. Because Monday was a holiday here. It works. They're excited about reading. And we just need to keep helping them be excited. Right? So this is a really funny story from my friend Jennifer. And Jennifer wrote, she said, "I just started the habit training lessons with my girls. I love that I can point out times and situations for attentiveness and why it's necessary. Well, today we were homeschooling and I was casting an educational video for them onto the TV. While he was playing, I got distracted by my ever-growing inbox and started filtering through emails. My oldest daughter caught me in the act and said, 'Mom, attention!' Yikes, I need this habit training too." And who doesn't? We all do. We all do. Listen, you guys, homeschooling, it's all about learning alongside our children. That's what it is. We don't need to get it perfect. We just need to get it going, right? We just need to come and learn alongside them. That's all we need to do. So with this all being said and done, oh, Laura is saying, "I agree. I am held accountable for our schooling adventure. Thank you for the sisterhood." Yeah. High five, guys, virtual high five. So as you see, my voice has been that for over a week now, or almost two. So pardon the sound of my crooked voice. It's awful. So quickly, before I get into what I want to get, and I want to get into what I get in 30 minutes. So in less than 30 minutes, that's what I mean. Are you all following this? Are you guys being intentional and putting this in a place where you can see all the time? Because I have it just like hanging in front of my face. Because if you keep track of these 7 C's, you will succeed. You need your clarity, know what you're doing, why you're doing, right? The goals that you have, April says, in my fridge. That's right, girl. You gotta keep that clarity all the time. When things get foggy, stop everything, go back to why you're doing what you're doing, get back to your goals, get back to your reasons for homeschooling. That is important. Your homeschool blueprint, it's very important. If you have taken my 5 days to your best homeschool years course, you have a whole homeschool blueprint there to fill out and get everything perfectly in ship shape. Your foundation will be stronger when you have those things clear. Content, do you need it? Do you have the resources and the tools that you need? Is there anything else that you need? If you do, share in the sisterhood, share with us so we know what are the resources and tools that you still need so we can provide it to you. We can help you. Consistency, consistency, consistency. I honestly, sometimes I wish I could record myself saying consistency, be consistent and just listen to that all day long from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed. Be consistent, right? I need to be consistent if I want to actually have charge over my time. And if I want to be productive, I need to be consistent and sticking to my homeschool routine, sticking to my work routine, sticking to my household routine. If I stick to those things, no time will be wasted. My attention will be fully on what I am doing and things will run smoothly. The moment that I stop being consistent and just start winging it, things get chaotic. Believe me, don't wing it. Have a plan in place and try to stick to it as much as possible. Is it going to be perfect? No, but you're going, girl. You're doing it. You're half the way there. So it doesn't have to be perfect all the time, but it becomes natural to you more and more. The more you practice, the more natural it becomes, and you just do it. That's right. Diamond's saying winging it will lead it all to derailing, right? And it's so true. When you start just winging your homeschool days and you start just winging what you're going to do for dinner or whatever, you're going to start seeing that things are not smooth as they used to be. And you're going to start feeling overwhelmed right away. Don't want that. All right. Contentment. Guys, one of the stories I heard from our tribe, from our sister this week, was from a mom who said, "Dad, I now feel content where I am. I feel confident. I feel peaceful." And just said, "I feel content." And that is so important because that means that we're not comparing ourselves all the time and we're not feeling like a failure anymore. We got this. We got this. So that's important. Are you satisfied where you are in your homeschool journey? Can you see it taking off? And can you see the progress? Can you see the improvement? Can you see the hope at the light at the end of the tunnel? That's the important thing. Okay, that's the important thing. So that is so good. If you're right now feeling more peaceful about it, and if you're feeling content about it, that's the way to go. And that's the way that we want to keep things. Okay, in place. Let's go here to number 5. Community. Community, plug it in, talk to each other, comment on each other's comment, make friends, make new homeschool BFFs, and exchange emails with each other, exchange maybe Facebook names on with each other so you guys can connect on Facebook or something. Don't go on Facebook. Why did I say that? Don't go on Facebook. Connect in our chat hub. Be in our chat hub, guys. I'm going to show you. Okay, can I just show you quickly now? I'm going to show you quickly now because I think this is going to be really, really helpful. So I'm going to open here and I'm going to quickly just go to our hub. So chat dot homeschool sisterhood. So this is the new secret hub we have where we can go. You can download it to your phone. There's no other distractions. It's just what we're communicating to each other. And you will see here, this is my free trial, but we're upgrading it because it's working really well. So we can, I can share quick things with you guys. And look at that, like I share this about our habit training, then like 23 comments right away. That's a good thing. I will ask questions. Look at this, complete the sentence. Because of the homeschool sisterhood, I now, look at all this stuff. Valentina said, I have more confidence. I feel encouraged and focused on my call as a homeschooling mom. I have a beautiful reminder that I am not, that I'm doing this because I want my kids to go to heaven. I want the whole family to go to heaven. You reminded me that it is a discipleship. It is the dream of my life, and I don't want to give up. So, guys, look at this. Debbie said, I feel encouraged. Someone's got my back. Definitely more confident. Thank you. That is so exciting. So we shared about homeschool routine, homeschool schedule. Look at this. Everyone is working on it. We shared, we asked about our monthly classes, what you guys think. Because I've been talking to some of you guys, and this is just to give you guys a little bit of an idea what's going on there and why I want you guys to get there. Also, because inside here, they are what we call tribes, and we have created already a special needs homeschool mom tribe, a high school homeschool moms tribe, a new homeschool moms tribe, and you guys are going to be able to join those groups within the homeschool sisterhood where you can chat with each other and help each other overcome your obstacles, okay? So I guess this is a huge blessing. Right? I think everyone is enjoying have a channel where we can just quickly go and chat with each other and ask questions to each other and get a notification without distractions, right? That is really helpful. So community. So let's go back. Clarity, content, consistency, contentment, community. All of this brings you to this. See here. Confidence. I know what I'm doing. I know I have friends to help me. I'm not alone. And then the last one, celebration. All of those little stories that I shared with you this morning or this afternoon for you, those are little celebrations of what God is doing in our homeschooling, our family through the sisterhood, how we're helping each other. That is a reason to celebrate. And now we need to celebrate our kids' progress with our kids. Are you guys ready for this? I believe at the end of every month, we should have a celebration for our children. And how are you going to do this? Put a little party together for them. Bake cupcakes. Bake cookies. Give them awards. It's type best third grader reader in the whole world. Put their kid's name on it. Blow up balloons. Do something to celebrate them. They need to see their own progress. They need to know that they're moving forward, that they are learning, that they are getting better in what they are learning, right? Even sometimes if your reward will be, you know, best perseverance and like always trying, you gotta show your kids their progress. It's so important. Don't do it just by grades. Don't say, hey, you are A+. Celebrate them. So at the end of the month, let's start creating this culture in our homes of celebration. Maybe at the end of the month, what we want to do is get daddy sit on the sofa or their uncles and aunts and cousins or grandparents or just you and have like present them an award, tell them how proud you are of them, and you can ask them to prepare something that they learned on that month to present, and to just do a show and tell or something. Get them excited about what they are learning. So this is our wrap up here. So let me go ahead and share a few practical ways that we can continue to see progress in our homeschool, continue to see improvement, to see, you know, all those little wins. Oh my gosh, I love it. I love when you guys share like a story and says, okay, this is how it was. This is how it is happening right now. This is what is happening right now. And it makes a huge difference. And this is why we're here. And I'm sad to say that, you know, a few moms just gave up the first month. They did not even go through the first month. And I just prayed for them. And it wasn't many of them, thank God. But I just prayed for them and said, God, they're giving up so easily without trying. And I just pray for the 96% of us who are here that we will not give up. Because the Bible says that we'll reap our rewards if we do not give up. That is a promise. That is a promise. We will reap our harvest, our rewards, if we do not give up. So stay strong, mama. Stay strong. All right. So I promised I was going to do this masterclass today, and we're going to cover a few things that you can use, some Charlotte Mason elements that you can use in your homeschool to help you have a restful homeschool. And so I'm going to share a few of them. We're going to do this in probably 20 minutes, but I want you to write down. So actually, don't write it down. I have a whole PDF done for you guys that I will share. If you want to write down, you can write down, but I have a whole PDF that I'm going to share with you guys. So I'll send it. As soon as I upload this video, I'll add it there for you. If you don't have it already, which is my Charlotte Mason guide, which is this one here. See, a modern Charlotte Mason education. This is a guide I made for one of the conferences that I spoke about the Charlotte Mason education in the 21st century. And the nuggets that you need are there. Oh, you can do copy work. Good job. There we go. That is great. Copy work sometimes, guys, is like one sentence, two sentences. Don't come with big chunks of text for the kids to copy. Okay, all right. So let's start with the first one, which is copy work. So why copy work is so important? Because the kids are practicing their handwriting. They're practicing their spelling. They're being watchful for grammar, right? So all of those three things are covered in copy work. Handwriting, spelling, grammar. Very, very important that when your kids are copying anything down, even if it's a poem, a prose, a scripture, whatever it is, maybe, you know, you just want to get them copying Bible verses every day to get them improved in their handwriting. Listen, you do not even need a whole curriculum for that. You can just open the Bible or print them a few passages, have them copy. Why not using some of the quotes that we have in our habit training? We can use that, right, to reinforce what we are learning. It could be the Bible verse that you're memorizing. It could be the habit training, quotes on the habit training that we are working on. It could be a paragraph from a book that they are reading and they are enjoying it. And that's literally what Brave Writer does. If you're familiar with the Brave Writer curriculum, that's literally how they do it. It's through copy work. They present a small paragraph or a sentence. The kids copy it during the week until they are very familiar with it. And as they learn, you know, they are being pointed out to the quote marks, to the exclamation mark, to how adjectives and prepositions are being used on that text, right? So Elizabeth saying, this will be too much, but my kids are horrible spellers. You know what? If your kids are not ready to copy anything, don't do it. Wait until they are ready. And my kids have improved their spelling by copying words. That's what they do. The other thing too, Elizabeth, is that you can have like one sentence and have them just copying a few words every day. There's no excuse not to do it. Like, you can do it. You can start anywhere. Like, can you write, I love you, and ask them to copy it? Even, if they're copying it, spelling will not be a problem. Attention will be the point. Attention. And that goes with the habit of attentiveness. Look, I want you to look careful in to the sentence. Does it start with capital letter? What do you use at the end? And start just pointing out what they can understand. It doesn't have to be anything that is complicated. Don't start pointing out grammar things like at the beginning. If they are just starting, there's no need for that. Just start little by little.
If you read the rest of it, it was today.
Yeah.
They had their history questions that we've been answering orally.
Yeah.
We answered them orally, and then I wrote out the answers and then made them copy it. And that's what I meant.
That's awesome. Okay.
And that will be probably too much quantity, but I've got to get them writing more. But when we rewrite, we ended up with so many misspelled words that it's totally
I know. Yeah. Free writing here, it's always a disaster too.
But as a sixth grader, I've got to encourage that this is the amount of work that you're expected to do, even if you're copying it all. I've got to get you used to writing that much.
And that's really good. That's really good. That's awesome. Sorry. I didn't read the whole comment because I'm trying to teach. But
you're fine.
Exactly what we want to do. And we want to tell them, like, listen, guys, you can do this. You can do this, even if you start doing little by little and see progress every day, but you can do this, right? I think copy work is one of the best ways that we can get them writing, and we can get them checking their spelling and just attention, right? So that's one thing that anyone can implement at any time. You don't need to be following a Charlotte Mason Education, and it doesn't have to take more than 5 minutes a day. Doesn't have to take more than 5 minutes a day. So just keep it super simple, start very simple, and then increase in increments like Elizabeth is doing right now with history, right? All right, narration. So simple. You guys, narration. Let's just talk about, 1 second. My throat and my voice are, okay. When my kids were little, they couldn't write anything. I couldn't expect them to do anything, but I could always expect them to retell the story. And if you want to know if they really know, they will retell the story back to you. Either through when you're reading aloud or when they are listening to an audiobook or they're watching a documentary, whatever that is, you can implement narration. My son could be upside down on the sofa or building Legos, and at the end, I will pause the chapter, and I will ask him to narrate the story back to me, and he would. So it didn't matter he was upside down on the sofa or building Legos, because he was paying attention, right? So narration, when you get into the consistent habit of asking them to retell the story, they will consistently pay attention to the story because they know you're going to ask about, right? So narration, here's what Charlotte Mason says. Narration is an art like poetry making or painting because it is there in every child's mind waiting to be discovered. And it is not the result of any process of disciplinary education. And she talks about how we are naturally born storytellers. And narration is storytelling. It's just retelling what they heard, what they learned. That's what it is. And what child does not love telling stories? They naturally come to us, Mom, can I tell you something? Mom, you know, Ben just did this, or I was watching this, and I was watching Wildcraft about platypuses, whatever it was, or spirit bears. And did you know? And they start telling you. So narration, you can use that naturally in your homeschool. It doesn't have to be one more assignment. It's something that is natural. It's going to take you 2 minutes. Ariella was reading the book yesterday. She's very proud of herself. She finished this little book in 2 days. And it is a little book. It's not a big book, but for her, it's really big. Because she's getting, you know, she's improving her reading. And our sunlight instructor guide, it gives us like normally one or two questions to ask our kids about what they read. And I asked her, and she sat down, she just told me this whole story. And she was excited about telling me this whole story. Now that shows me she's paying attention. She's learned something. And it began a little discussion, really interesting discussion between us, because in the story, this little girl is she's a farmer's daughter, and they don't believe that farmers have time to read. And she was saying, "But Mom, it's so important to read, because when we read, we learn new things, and you know, we think about new things in different ways." And And that's my 7-year-old out of her little narration. So the other thing also is that when your kids are not able to write, but they are able to narrate, I highly recommend you to jot down what they're saying and show them, you know, when they say like, I can't write, and said, you can, because you wrote it in your mind. And I wrote it down for you, but you wrote it in your mind first. And you told me exactly how the story was going to go. So you can do that with your children. You can do that. You can jot it down and say, okay, tell me the story and I'm going to write it down for you. And then maybe you can use that for copy work, right? But it's such an easy way to do it. Now let's get to the third one, leaving books. Books that are boring will not capture their attention. Books that are just dry facts and dates are not going to capture their attention. Pick books wisely that will provoke emotions, that they will be entertained and engaged. It will help them so much. It will help them so much because it helps us. Okay, how many of you have read a book that it was so boring, we're just going to get past the first chapter or second chapter, right? Oh my, okay, so I was in a book club once. So I was in a book club with homeschool moms, and that was like a local thing where we went to Starbucks at the end of the month, and I had like all this super smart, not that I'm not a smart person, but all of this moms reading all of those books. That I just couldn't get it. I couldn't get it. Maybe because English is not my first language. But I love reading. And I devour books all the time. But some of the books that they were reading, I just couldn't get past the first or the second chapter. But of course, who doesn't want an excuse to go to a Starbucks with a bunch of moms at the end of the month? So I would go to the meetings. And I would sit there. And all I want to tell them was like, that was so boring. I just couldn't read it, but I couldn't say that because otherwise they will put me out of the book club and I will lose my Starbucks every month, you know, with the girls. But listen, you guys, if we give our kids boring books to read, or they are way over their heads, okay? It's way above their level of reading. It's going to be so challenging to them that it's not going to flow. It's just not going to help. Make sure that it's in their level, right? And Elizabeth, I think you can talk a little bit about that too, if you want to share with us. If you stretch them too much and make it too hard for them, you will bring it in frustration. And you know what happens when frustration comes in? It blocks them. They don't want to do it anymore. Remember the math issues that we once had, or some of us are still having somehow? You know, maybe that math program just wasn't the right level for them, and it's pushing them so hard that it just makes them frustrated. Their brain is just burning. They're not enjoying it. So in this house, we have a role. We want to read as a leisure. We don't want to read as you need to do it. And we want to make sure that the books that we're putting out there for them, it's their reading level and progressing little bits by little bits. Okay. I don't have my 6-year-old reading. What was that? Let's see. I have one of those little books here. You know, if I give my 6-year-old, my 11-year-old a little book like this to read, that's too easy for him. He doesn't want, it's going to be boring for him. You're going to read this in like 15 minutes and he doesn't want to read anymore. He wants stuff that provokes his emotion. Like that's why we love using things like that, biographies like that, or any other books that are really exciting for him. And it just provokes, you know, all of his feelings. And now he's curious about what's going to happen next. And he's into the story. So that's important. That's why we use living books instead of just plain textbooks. Okay, let me catch up with your comments quickly, you guys. Don is saying, totally, when I was a child, I used to cry because I couldn't remember anything I read for some subjects like history. And that's what's happened to your son in public school, to my son in public school. He hates reading, right? Ben did not like reading until he got into really, really good books. And at first, it was all me reading aloud. It was all me reading aloud. I don't know if you guys know the story. I often share. By 8, 7, he couldn't put two sounds together. And I felt like I failed him. I failed him. I felt miserable. I felt like maybe I should just give up this whole homeschooling thing. It wasn't a year after that same boy that couldn't put two sounds together read 14 chapter books. Not even a year after, 14 chapter books. Why? Because he read one book that sparked it all, and then he went through the whole series, which was The Imagination Station. One book that was engaging, it was living, it was thought-provoking, it was encouraging, it was fun. One book made him read 13 other books on the same series. So it is important. Like, the books that we choose, it is important. Okay, so Elizabeth, let me read your comment here. Let me go back. If they're reading to you and they struggle, give them the sound they're struggling with and make them sound back to you. Yes, I do that and point it out. Okay, this is how you say this word. And that's really, really good. And she said that this will prevent frustration and their brain will still be learning the sound patterns in the word. In the word, yes. Absolutely. Tamlin said, my son was slow, but a week after his 9th birthday, he asked to read his first book. I was surprised. After that, the ball started to grow and he wouldn't stop. There we go. Right? Sometimes, guys, let me tell you, when it comes to reading, boys can start a little bit later than girls. Did anybody find that to be true? Because I know some of you guys only have girls, some of you guys only have boys. But I've heard this from other moms too, that, and I heard this from Julie Bogart, and I heard that from, who else did I, from my friend Kim Kotzer. She said that as well. So, yeah. April, did you raise your hand? Do you want to ask a question? Let me.
No, I didn't mean to do that. Sorry.
Okay. No, no worries. No worries at all. All right. So we talked about copy work, narration, living books, nature studies. You know, first I thought, like, nature studies. I'm like, really? Do I have time for these things? And I saw all these people, you know, doing nature studies. I'm like, this is so not me. I hate bugs. I hate being outside. The thought of going for nature walks was just not my thing. And like anybody else like me, like, you know, city grown, and I like my air conditioner. And, you know, you want to see bugs? Let's go to the museum. They're all dead there. We just watch them there. So that was me. I didn't see value in nature studies until I gave it a try. So that was about maybe 3 years ago. Emily saying, I'm from the country and I'll still have a hard time with nature study. So I didn't see the correlation between nature studies and science per se. And even like with God's creation, how important it was for us to get out there and say, wow, you know, look at what God created. Look how God made this perfect. Look, all of those things. So as we start going on our first nature walks, one, my kids love just getting outside of the house. Even if I didn't like getting outside of the house, it actually was good for me. It was good for me that I was moving, I was walking, kids were having fun, they were climbing on trees, they were looking at different things. Now, it's so funny because it felt like they were naturals of this whole nature study thing. They were like, hey, look at this bug and look at this leaf. And they were collecting leaves and rocks, which, what kid doesn't do that, right? So I came back from every nature walk with sticks and stones and leaves and now it's hard to keep it in the RV, guys. I'm like, okay, who just threw this trash here? And they're like, Mom, that's not trash. That's our lesson. But it's important. So Miss Mason, she strongly believes that children should explore God's creation and spend time outdoors to develop a better education. She encouraged them to develop nature journals. What do nature journals do for our kids, guys? Teach them to observe. Teach them to pay attention. That's so important. And I finally realized, give them an empty journal and a pencil and a few colored pencils. Just let them go outside for a few minutes, sit in the bench and watch them. I was amazed by how many things my kids were observing, how many topics came up that they were talking about, and how excited they were to be outside exploring God's creation. So she also encouraged, she encouraged them to keep nature journals in order to discover and identify plants and wildlife. Scavenger hunts. Okay, I'm going to show you what I have. I keep this here because scavenger hunts. How many different leaves can we find in our nature walk today? Can we identify this? Can we bring some of those home? Can we put in our nature journal and write down the name of it? Can we go online now and figure it out more about those trees and those leaves? If there's anything that we don't know about it? I mean, that's so much fun to do. Do a bug scavenger hunt. There's so many things that you can print out online and they are free. Go to Pinterest, you'll find tons of things. But it's fun. It makes it like, and they learn. I've learned so much. You know, observing wildflowers, I never knew their names. I never knew anything about them. I've learned about trees. All of those things make a difference in their learning. Get them excited. Anything to get them excited, guys. Anything. So right now about the weather. What a cool way to learn science about weather. Observing. What can you tell me about today's weather? And how are the clouds today? You don't have to, you know, don't make it a lesson. Just, you know, get one of the kids to go, hey, can you go outside and tell me how the weather is? Let's see if we are good as the app. And let them come back and report. Mom, it's cloudy today. It's windy today. You know, just let them observe things. I recommend using the Handbook of Nature Study, and we actually have the ebook. Why do I have the ebook? Because when we go outside, I don't want to be carrying a big, thick, heavy book. I rather just have it on my phone. And I quickly pull on my phone, and my kids actually have on their Kindle Fire, and we pull it and we read the chapter that we need to read about. We use a curriculum. And I'm not sure if it's here or if it's in a kid's bookcase, but it's called Explore Nature with Children. Love it. And guess what? It covers copy work, covers poetry. It covers the nature study that we're going to do. And every week there's a different topic that they learn about. And it's easy. Open and teach and go and already add a few of those things that we're talking about into it. And give you suggestions of books that we can go to the library and get. But we don't do that very often. We don't like to add more stuff to what we're doing because we don't want to feel overwhelmed. Picture study. Let's talk about picture study. Art appreciation. I've learned so much from artists' biographies. Not just listen to their music or looking at their pictures, but learning about their lives. Learning about how they discover things. Learn how, you know, the hardships of their lives were actually reflected in some of their paintings or some of the music. Yeah, I do have an affiliate for the Nature Study Wine. I'll share it with you guys. I have a whole review on the blog too, if you want to see how it is. And I can show you guys how it works too. But there's just so much that you can learn. And we know that art is communication. And some children that have a hard time expressing their feelings will do well painting and drawing to retell stories. That was the case with my youngest. When she was frustrated and she didn't want to come to me and tell me, she would draw me a picture. That opened up for our communication in so many ways. So many ways. So, but just looking at different paintings and observing. Again, guys, what does that teach the kids? Observation, attention. Observation and attention. Look at this picture. What can you tell me about it? What do you see? And you ask them questions about it. So picture study, again, is a way to exercise communication, attention, observation, all of those things. Out of it, you get narration. Because they are narrating what they are seeing. I love the Master Books does that throughout their language arts curriculum. We use the language arts curriculum, and there is always a picture study. There's always a poem. There's always something. There's a story for them to narrate. So all of those things are inside already the curriculum that the kids do like in 10, 15 minutes a day. So let's talk. I'm not going to go over through every single one of them, but I want to talk about like two more things. So one is hymn study. Why hymn study makes a huge difference in their lives. She says, the singing of hymns at home and of the hymns and canticles in church should be a special delight. God's word and God's praises changes the atmosphere. He plants godly seeds in their hearts when they sing, when they hear the songs. I got to share something really cool with you guys. I had an opportunity to minister to someone, to a very new age person. And God put a few things in my heart to just speak to her. And she grabbed my hand and she started crying. She said, why are you telling me this? I says, because this is what God is telling me right now about you. And I just reaffirmed how much God loved her and how God created her. And she was like in tears. That was at the conference that I was last week. And she had a label saying she was the chosen one. And she was sitting in this VIP sofa area right in front of the whole conference. And I said, you know what? There's a reason why you got the chosen one. And you are the chosen one. And I begin to tell her how God has chosen her, how God has formed her. And she grabbed my hand and she wouldn't stop crying. She said, I want you to sit here with me during the whole conference. So I sat down the front with her and she just wouldn't let me go. And before I went home, she was looking for me everywhere because she wanted to hug me and thank me for the things that I told her. And we part our ways. We kind of exchange messages with each other through like our tribe group, our community. And last night, she sent me a YouTube link to a worship song called Not Afraid. And she said, I saw God yesterday. I came across this. And she said she was looking for old church hymns and she came across this worship and she said, I know I got chills all over too. She said it touched her soul and her mind immediately. That's what she said. And she just like, she sent it to me because she wanted me to listen to it. And I was just blown away because I've never heard that song before. And it was absolutely amazing. So I'm laying down in bed. Ryan is just falling asleep. And like, I'm just so excited, you know, because that song touched her heart, her mind and her soul, as she said. And I shared with her the verse that God has put in my heart since the moment I saw the, you know, the tag on her singing The Chosen, which was in Jeremiah. It says, before, you know, like, I know you since like before you were conceived in your mother's womb, and I have chosen you. I have set you apart. And I shared those words with her. And I shared with her the verse in Jeremiah 33 that says, call unto me and I'll show you great and mighty things that you did not know. One song can change a person's life. Do you know how I got saved? Through one worship song that was called Choose Life when I was facing cancer at 25 years of age. I had no hope of continuing to live. I have nothing to help me stand on my feet. No believers in my family. No believers that I knew. It was that song that said, "Choose Life," that got me on my knees crying. And I said, "God, from now on, I believe in you. And I choose life." And guys, it didn't take 3 or 4 months after that I was completely healed from my cancer. It changed my life. By the end of that year, I was in Bible school. And I was completely sold out into being a missionary and going overseas and tell everyone I knew about Jesus. One song. Why is hymn study important? It changes hearts. It fuels minds. It does. It does. Think about it. When you start the day in your home with worship songs, it changes the atmosphere. The devil cannot stand worship. And when your kids are listening to those good, wholesome hymns that actually teaches them theology, it makes a big difference in what they believe and why they believe. So hymns are important. Very, very, are as important as just reading the Bible, plainly dry. I normally actually like to put the worship first, then we read the Bible, because I feel we're already singing praises to God. We already, you know, covered in this beautiful atmosphere and presence of the Holy Spirit. It just changes everything. When we are worried, when we are afraid, when we are overwhelmed, put some worship song, put some hymns, sing it out. Let God speak to you through those songs. Music is so divine, so divine. Last thing that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to skip a bunch of things here, which is good, right? Valentine's Day gonna make me cry. You used to sing to your husband. Okay, let me read this. But not anymore because you have a lot of stuff. Oh, Valentina, if I sing to my husband, he will kill me because I can't sing. But he's a worship leader. I'm being honest, people. You know me. I'm transparent. Diamond, it was Big Tent Revival. Choose Life. That's a song. It says, "A choice is set before you now, living or dying." What was that? Living or dying. So you don't want me to sing. And it says, "The time has come around to give up your fighting." And I think it's resting his mercy, something like that. And it says, "Choose life, the life that may give, he gives you forever." And all like that song. And let me tell you, so I'm at Bible college in Jerusalem, in Israel. I'm in Bible college. So this is like years later, right? Because I studied theology in the States 5 years before I went to Israel to pursue my degree in biblical and Jewish studies. So I'm in Bible college, my first year there in Jerusalem, and we had chapel every Wednesday. Guess who comes to do the chapel worship for us? The guy from Big Tent Revival. By that time, Big Tent Revival is not even a band anymore. And he comes to lead worship at our Bible college because he was visiting there. Guys, I cried so much and I shared my testimony and said, "That worship song that you wrote changed my life forever. And I'm here today because of that one song." Just amazing. Elizabeth saying, "Your favorites raise a hallelujah." It's one of our favorites. And we were just at Bethel Church 2 months ago, and we're getting ready to go back there at the end of our travel because we want to spend some time there. I love I Raise a Hallelujah. And some of you guys know that I am obsessed with Endless Hallelujah from the same CD, the Victory CD. Love it. It speaks volumes to my heart. So that's why it's important. Last but not least, and I told you guys I was going to do this in half an hour. I lied. So forgive me. I tried my best, but we get so excited about the things that God is speaking to us. The last one, two words, and it's working already for you. What do you think it is? Habit training. Habit training. That is so important. Charlotte Mason says, "The habits of a child produces the character of a man." So the formation of habits is as important as how much math they get done, how much they can read on their own. Formation of habit is actually more important than anything else, I believe. If you have a child who knows how to pay attention and pays attention, have a child that knows how to observe, if you know a child that is obedient, your homeschool will be amazing. What a difference he makes. If you have a child who follows through the order habit and keeps things neat in the right place and put their books away after we finish school, and you don't have to go picking up books and socks and toys and pencils everywhere, your life is going to be so much easier. Right? So habit training, you got to lay down the rails. It's going to happen overnight? No. It's going to be worthy when it happens? Absolutely. It changes everything. Changes everything. I'm going to say, Anna, thanks for another wonderful class. You're so welcome. You're so welcome. I know Elizabeth saying, if you don't, it's just awful. If you really don't put habit training, character training into place. And listen, you guys, I homeschooled probably 4 years without even understanding that that was a thing. Nobody told me what was pay attention was. Nobody told me. My mama, I'm 45, come on. My mom and my dad always told me, like, pay attention. I'm like, okay, I'm trying to pay attention. And there's like all this gazillion distractions around me. But nobody actually sat down with me and says, you know what? Let's learn to pay attention. And what is paying attention? Putting the full force of your mind to what you have in your hands right in front of you. Whatever you have right in front of you, let's just focus completely on that. Block all the distractions. And let's practice that attention habit every day in everything that we do. Be fully present. Concentrate on what you're doing. When I start teaching my kids, guess what? That's when I learned what attention was. Because I was always like an octopus, doing like a zillion things at the same time, not paying attention on anything or anyone. Truly, I'm being honest. My kids will be talking to me and I'll be like, okay, yeah, I'm typing this here. Did you hear what I said, Mom? What did you say, honey? Is that what I want to model to them? Valentina's like, and Emily's, guys, it is. Elizabeth is saying, how do you handle other kids distracting? Not just being bad, but doing their work is distracting. It depends on the distraction. I have a daughter who used to be highly distracted and she's not anymore. Thank the Lord. And she will distract herself and everybody else around. So for me, it worked that I put them in different places to do their school. And for Hadassah, who was highly distracted, it worked that she would put headphones and she would listen to classical music as she was doing her schoolwork. And it worked. It worked for her. So I don't know. I'm not an expert on the subject. But maybe having them in separate places to do their work. Maybe one that is highly distracted by any noise, block their noise, or maybe some calming classical music. We know classical music, it's good for the brain and it helps concentration. That's more than scientifically proved. So maybe that's a way to do it. You should just try a few things and see what's going to work for your kids. And it's like right now I have one in my bedroom and I have two in the other bedroom. One is all the way up on the bunk bed and the other one is down reading her books. And I don't have to worry about them distracting each other anymore as much as I used to, right? It happens once in a while. Yeah, Donna saying, I'll try classical music. Classical music was really great also to calm my kids' behavior. Everyone felt calmer if we had some classical music going, soft, not loud, not at the same time that I'm reading something, But if, let's say, they were doing their math work or they're doing the language arts, is there a certain composer? If you actually go to YouTube, you can find different playlists for different composers. And normally it says like classical music for concentration or classical music for study. And you will find like different ones. But look and see what works best for your kids. Sometimes it's just worship songs. And Hadassah loves music and she will just listen to worship songs and sing out loud. But on her own in her bunk room, because otherwise her brother will just throw a fit if she's singing. So listen, you guys, I have to juggle as much as you all have to juggle. It's always a try, and you know, test and try. Let's see what's gonna help you. John is saying, sounds similar. I would have never guessed that about you. Yes, my son is always distracted, and I'll try the classical music. Good. Try it because it really helped you. Emily is saying, I have one that was all over the place today. He played the drums for over an hour and got it out. Now he's focused and my other son can focus on his work as well. Very good point, Emily. Dana Abraham is actually doing an amazing free workshop happening right now on behavior. And there's something that I've learned with her is that if you have a child that is full of energy, let them go outside first and get all their energy out. If you have a trampoline, let them jump on the trampoline. If you have a backyard, let them run on the backyard. If you need to take them for a bike ride, some kids need to get all their energy out so they can actually sit and focus in what they're doing. So that's a good point. So as Duranda Wilson teaches us in her unhurried homeschooler, be a student of your child. Your job is not to analyze anybody's kids. All right, hello, let's just not analyze anybody's kids because that's not our business. Let's focus on analyzing ours and figure it out the obstacles that they need to overcome and how we can overcome, how we can come around and help them. If you haven't signed up for Dana's free workshop, I actually listened to the first video today and I was just blown away. Because yesterday we had a, we had a little behavioral whoops with this child's like screaming bloody murder just for going in the canoe with us in the beautiful, you know, late afternoon that was just like paradise. It was like amazing. And she saw one spider and she was screaming bloody murder for 2 hours. And I was so embarrassed. I was so upset. Anyways. All of that to say that if I had listened to Dana's video yesterday instead of today, I would have saved us from so much stress yesterday, right? Because some kids really can get really affected by certain things and not know how to self-control, right? Or self-regulate themselves. So, Emily, the link is already on the chat hub. If you go to Mighty Network, it's already there. And you can watch already today's video. I thought it was really brilliant because it helps us not to focus on the behavior, but what is it causing? What is it causing your kids to be distracted? Have you thought about it? Benjamin cannot, he has a sensory process issue and there are certain noises that will affect his attention completely and he will melt down. So, think about what is causing your kids to be distracted. What is it? Is it, I don't know, like I'm just saying because they watched TV before and now their brain is all over the place. Is that because they need to go outside? They need to really just jump and run until they really just waste all those energy that they've been bottling up all night long? What is it? What is the cause? You know, like Dana was saying, like we see the iceberg, but we don't focus on the 85% of the iceberg that is covered on the water. We're just looking at the symptoms up here. But our job as moms is to be students of our children and analyze the 85% down here and see how we can change that. And that could be for everything. That could be for reading. Why is your kid not hating reading, right? Like, I think Dawn's, I think, was that Dawn that shared about their history, the son's history class, and how he now hates history because it was so boring. Some of you guys share that. What is it? Is that a math meltdown because the math program that you're using with your kids, even though you love it, they hate it, it's just not their learning style. It's just not capturing their attention, or it's not challenging enough. Maybe it's too easy. They're getting bored. But our job is to be student of our children. And once we start analyzing and taking notes and thinking like, what is causing this, instead of just reacting to the behaviors, everything changes. Right? Everything changes. That all goes for our homeschool. Emily's saying, my son cannot have red dye. Same thing here, right? My son cannot have gluten. If he has gluten, I can guarantee you in 5 minutes, he's going to be laying down the sofa. 5 minutes, he's going to be completely lethargic, laying down the sofa, and there's nothing that I can do to bring his attention back for at least a few hours. Sometimes it's something that they eat. Sometimes it's just a poor night of sleep. All of those things. And we as homeschool moms, we're home with them. We have the time to observe them. Sometimes it's worth stopping everything we're doing just to observe. Take a day off homeschooling. Let me just watch them. All right, you guys, that's it. We've done it. We passed it our time. And I hope that this has been helpful. And I hope that this has been encouraging. We are seeing progress. And we will continue to see it if we do not give up. We have what we need. We got each other's back. You're welcome, Elizabeth. We got each other's back. We can reach out to each other. We are getting the tools, the resources. I'm bringing Dr. Melanie Wilson next week to speak to us. Emily's like, yeah, we all love Melanie, don't we? She is a wealth of knowledge, experience, 6 kids, homeschooling, Christian psychologist, author, and a good friend of mine. Good friend of mine. I've learned so much. She changed my homeschool, guys. She was the one who gave me my first community, who gave me hope, who started teaching me what I needed to know in order to see my homeschool succeeding. And I am just honored that she's going to come and spend time with us next week, that we're going to have a Q&A time with her as I interview her. She's going to talk about different stages of homeschooling and how to prepare for those stages. She's going to talk about whatever you want to ask her about it. So I'm so excited. And I have other great speakers coming in next month and the next month and the next. And every month, we want to concentrate on what we are learning and implement and apply. And that's why I don't want to give you 10 interviews in a month. I want to give you one. That's enough food for thought to chew on and implement. Because if we just learn, but don't implement, it's going to be good for nothing. It's not going to take us anywhere. You got to learn, implement. That's how we move forward one step at a time. So thank you guys so much. We're going to pray. And Veronica's saying, thank you, Anna. I've enjoyed this, but I have to go. I know I have to go too. Because I need to make sure the kids have done their work. Well, I want to go to the beach. It looks like this is my last really hot day here. So that's my chance. And Donna says that it's been very helpful and encouraging. Thank you. Thank you guys for being here. Well, let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you that we're truly a sisterhood. Thank you, Lord, that you know the plans that you have for us, and they are all good. And you know the plans you have for our children, and all ends up all right. Because you're in control of all things, Lord. And Lord, in the moments that we want to take control of everything and forget to give you control of everything, Father, help us to stop and remember that you know all the days of their lives. They're already written in your book. So, Lord, we just humble ourselves before you. We come before you and we say, guide us, lead us, teach us, and help us to depend on you. And, Lord, thank you for the beautiful fellowship that we have together. Thank you that our work, it's never in vain because it's in you for your glory. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is with us and we are not alone. We just thank you for the blessing and the ability to homeschool our children, to disciple them, and to raise them to serve you and to love you with all their hearts, mind, soul, and strength. Help us, guide us, bless us. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Love you, ladies. Go put that worship song on. Have a great homeschool day. Love you guys.